The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me, because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord. So last week, Father Jim, Father George, and I began a four-week preaching series called The Power of Vision. And the goal of this series is to answer the question, what now? You know, we spent all Advent talking about how do we encounter our Lord? And once we encounter Him, you know, once we've heard His voice, once we've made that decision that we want Him more than anyone or anything else, that we want to follow Him above all things and all people, well, then what? What do we need to do, practically speaking, to be disciples of Jesus Christ who joyfully live out the gospel? And to answer that question, we came up with a vision statement. And this isn't just some vision statement that you kind of do in some board meeting just to do it. But praying with the Holy Spirit, praying for the Holy Spirit to really guide our parish, after many months, this is what we came up with. St. John the Evangelist is a vibrant Catholic community that brings people to Christ, that forms disciples, and sends them forth to transform the world. Every member faithfully commits to worship God, to serve others, to form friendships, to mature in our faith, to grow in holiness, to share one's gifts, and to proclaim the gospel. That is our what now. That is what we do next. After we've encountered God, what do we practically need to do to be holy? We do those things. We worship God, we serve others, we form friendships, we mature in our faith, we grow in holiness, we share the talents and the gifts that God has given us with others, and we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. That's what we need to do. And if we do those things, forget the fact that it's a vision statement, but if we actually do those things, we're on the path to greatness. We're on the path to being saints. Last week, we preached about worship. And it's the single most important thing we must do once we've encountered our Lord. That need to come to Mass every single Sunday without exception. Because we know that the Eucharist is not just a symbol, but it is the very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is the only source of life. The only source of life. And so knowing that Jesus Christ, God, has come down from heaven to be with us, that we must come every Sunday and receive Him and worship Him. But worship can't be all we do. It can't be an end in of itself. We cannot just show up at Mass every Sunday and Holy Day of Obligation and expect to be saints. Our worship, what we do here on the weekend, on Sunday, it must spill over into every other aspect of our lives. And specifically today, we're talking about two things, that our worship needs to spill over into our service and into forming holy friendships. And again, I say that this is not from a bunch of people at St. John's in a boardroom coming up with it. This is straight from Scripture. In today's first reading from the prophet Isaiah, the context is that the Jews had just been released from Babylon, where they had been held slaves for decades. Absolutely miserable, deplorable conditions. You know, think ISIS, think Syria. It'd be like being there for decades and finally getting released back to your home. The Jews are finally back in their home of Jerusalem. And when they get home, like we have done so many times, at least I know I have done so many times in my life, after I've been delivered from some punishment, we make this promise. I'm never going to do that again. And the Jews promised, I will not do those things that caused me to be enslaved again. I will not commit those same sins which caused me to be slaves. Sins like idolatry, sins like oppression, sins like sexual immorality. But what happened? After a while, they got used to their surroundings again. They got comfortable again, and they fell back into their own ways. And when we sin, sin enslaves us. Sin always has a punishment. And so God, once again, had to punish his people. Why? Not because he wanted to punish them, but because he wanted them to stop doing what they were doing. And so punishment was on its way. And what happened? The faithful, those who weren't doing these things, well, they were depressed. They didn't want to be slaves again. And so God speaks to them. He speaks to them through the prophet Isaiah. And he says, look, I promise I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to send a servant. I'm going to send a servant to rescue you. We know that that servant would be sent by God. We know that that servant would be charged with preaching the word, the truth, to the people, to those who knew God and those who did not know him. We know that the servant would call people to conversion, that he would liberate exiles, and that he would extend salvation to the ends of the earth. And it would be through this servant, and only this servant, that God would once again manifest his glory. And ultimately, we know that Isaiah was prophesying about Jesus Christ. Jesus is the one who came to earth to serve and not be served. Jesus is the one who showed us how to serve by washing the feet of the disciples at the Last Supper. Jesus is the one who preached the good news to the Jews, to the Gentiles. When he was tired, when he was inconvenienced, he preached the word. And Jesus is the one who spent himself completely, who served us completely by going to the cross so that we could be delivered from the slavery of sin. Christ is the one who came to serve us completely. And we are called as Christians, as people who bear his name, to do the same for others, to serve. And I know that if we're going to be the parish that God is calling us to be, if we're really going to be the people who show the face of Jesus Christ to Severna Park and to Anne Arundel County, then we have to be a community that serves. There is no other option for holiness. We must be a community that serves. And you know, we are so blessed at such a parish like this, with this size and so many good things going on, of having so many opportunities to do that, to serve. You know, just to name a couple offhand, you know, we have the St. Vincent de Paul Society, which serves the needy in our area. They're amazing. We have a group of volunteers who help out at Our Daily Bread, huge soup kitchen, and far more than just a soup kitchen, in Baltimore, serving those who cannot afford a meal, who may not even have a home to cook a meal in. We have a thriving sick and homebound ministry led by our own Father George and Sister Maureen. They visit dozens, every single week, dozens of shut-ins, of elderly people who can't get to Mass because either they're too sick, they don't have a ride, or for whatever reason, they just can't get here. These people go to nursing homes, they go to hospitals, they go to individual homes, and they bring Holy Communion to those who otherwise could not receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ at Mass. They bring a loving smile to these people. They bring the face of Jesus Christ to these people. And you know, we have dozens of other ministries at St. John's which serve our community at large. We have an RCIA program which serves. We have a music ministry. We have a faith formation ministry. We have prison ministry, altar server ministry, lectures, EMHC, so many more. It's so easy to blow this stuff off. But Isaiah promised, the Holy Spirit promised through Isaiah, that God's glory would be manifested through his servant. And so if we want the love and the mercy of Christ to be manifested in our world, guess what? We got to serve. We got to serve. And so I ask you, if you're not involved in St. John's, if you're not involved in some sort of service, why not? Why not? And here's the amazing thing. God is waiting to touch people's lives. He's waiting to change people's lives through your smile, through your voice, through your kindness, through your talents, through your hands. Service is a requirement for holiness, and it must flow from our worship, what we do here on Sunday. The second thing that our Sunday worship ought to lead to, if we're a healthy community, are holy friendships. To be holy, to be happy, we have to form close friendships. Because you know what? You and I are not, I don't care who we are, how young we are, how old we are not solitary beings. We are meant to be in relationship with one another, to support one another. We have to support one another on the journey to heaven. Because we know, especially in our day and age, it ain't an easy road. That journey to heaven is not easy. It's a narrow path. And so we've got to be helping each other, building each other, supporting each other on this journey. And I would say, almost without exception, there's no saint who did not have holy friends. Again, I go to Scripture. In his letter to the Corinthians, which we just heard, our second reading today, Paul mentioned a friend of his. Maybe you've never heard this name before, Sosthenes. Well, Sosthenes was a convert to Catholicism. He came to know of Jesus Christ and his church through Paul and through his preaching. And they became good friends, friends who encouraged one another to be God-fearing men who are seeking heaven. The foundation of their friendship was Jesus Christ and a thirst for heaven. Their friendship was not based on anything immoral. Their friendship was not based on even kind of fun things, but which really don't matter, like sports. They weren't drinking buddies. The foundation of their friendship was Jesus Christ. And their friendship was so close, it was so tight, that if you paid attention in that second reading, he used the word brother to describe his friend. Could you imagine if we formed friendships like that in our parish? If we formed friendships that were so tight, that were so founded on Jesus Christ, that we referred to each other as brother, as sister, as family. Could you imagine if we formed friendships where we actually motivated each other to get to heaven, where we motivated each other to live virtuously, where we motivated each other to pray. We supported each other. We were accountability partners in the areas that we struggle. That's what a friend does. That's what a holy friend does. Our world does not know what a friend is. A friend will lead you to heaven. That's what a friend is. That would be awesome if that's the kind of friendship, the kind of relationships that are formed at this parish. Because we worship our Lord and receive Him, and that has to flow out into these holy friendships. They would become like our family, just like Paul and Sosthenes. But I think to form those friendships, we have to be willing to be vulnerable, and we have to be willing to reach out to one another. We have to get involved in ministry, and we have to serve together. You become friends when you roll up your sleeves and you serve together, and you're fighting, you're working for a common mission. We have to greet one another at Mass. I know some people don't like that. But you know something? How are we to become friends with one another if we're not even willing to greet one another? Or we're even willing to come late to Mass so we don't have to greet one another? You know what I mean? Like, we got to greet one another. This has got to be a prayerful spot. But the purpose of greeting one another is to get someone's name who we don't know and to be willing to pray for that person at this Mass. There's a connection there that's powerful. And that's not disrupting our prayer. Believe me, I'm a very sort of contemplative prayer. But this is important. We have to greet one another. We have to get to know the people sitting next to us. And we have to be willing to pray for them. We have to be in situations where we can not only grow and share our faith, but be with people who are in all sorts of journeys, all areas of the faith walk, and be willing to walk with them. To form friends, we have to reach out to others and invite people into our lives. We have to be willing to be vulnerable. And so if you're not involved at St. John's, I would ask you to think about and pray about becoming involved. There are so many ways to form friends here at this parish. We have 200 women who meet on Wednesdays and Thursdays, studying Scripture, becoming great friends, supporting each other, walking with purpose. It's amazing. It's the best thing we have at this parish. More holiness is coming through walking with purpose than anything else we have at this parish. I encourage women to get involved. We have 60 men. Men, we need to step it up, but we have 60 men who are part of our movement called That Man Is You. And these men are coming out Saturday morning, 6:45 in the morning. They're being together. And they're learning about something holy. They're breaking up into small groups and talking about their faith. They're forming friendships. Friendships which will ultimately lead to salvation. No doubt. I'm part of this group. I need it too. Men, come Saturday morning, 6:45. You know, maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm not even sure why I'm here. I'm not even sure I understand the big questions in our faith if I really believe. Well, guess what? There's something for you. Starting on Tuesday, we have Alpha starting to answer exactly those questions. Come. You're going to be with other people who are just where you are to form friendships. We're going to give you a free meal. Nothing else can come from a free meal. We're going to have a great talk, and there's going to be a chance to be with other people who are exactly where you're at, to support one another and to go on this journey with somebody else. If you're a young adult who's wishing you could find other young adults to be with, and I don't just mean single young adults, but I mean young adults. I don't care if you're married, you're single, or whatever you are. But you wish you could be with other young adults who care about the faith. Every third Saturday, we now have a young adult ministry where we have a holy hour in this church. Exposition, adoration, confession, a talk. And then afterwards, go out to dinner together to form those friendships. We need that. 7:00 next Saturday, be here. Young adults, we need you. We need to form friendships. But you know what? No matter who you are, where you are in that faith journey, there is something for you. We got to get involved in St. John's. We got to be a part of the parish, an active part. We can't just show up at Mass on Sunday and expect to be saints. Our worship has got to spill over into every other aspect of our lives. If we want to grow in holiness, if we want to experience true happiness and joy, if we want a healthy parish that forms disciples of Jesus Christ, guess what? We have to leave this church today and commit to serving in our community and to forming holy friendships, to supporting one another. That's the path that Jesus Christ showed us. It's the path that's going to lead us to heaven, and it's the path that will allow us to manifest the glory of God to everybody out there who doesn't even know that He exists. May our worship today lead to service, to friendship, and the manifestation of God's glory. Amen.